Please turn back in your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 3, and I'll read verses 16 through 19. And Paul makes this prayer for the Ephesians, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We have been looking at this most remarkable prayer of the Apostle Paul in our recent sermons. There are a number of prayers of Paul in the various letters that he wrote in the New Testament. This one stands in many ways above the others, and many believe that this is his most profound and lofty prayer, and perhaps even in the entire Bible. And we can see this in the petitions which he makes for the Ephesian believers. This is a Trinitarian prayer with three petitions, each of them regarding one of the three persons of the Trinity. At the end of verse 16, he prays that we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, the first petition. And then we find the second petition for the indwelling of Jesus Christ in the beginning of verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And the third petition is found at the end of verse 19, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. A most remarkable prayer for things that we could have never thought of ourselves. Things that we would never even imagine to be possible or true unless they were told to us in the Scriptures. And so this is a prayer that contains very deep theology of the Christian life. And when we study a prayer like this, we learn theology and we learn how to pray. What should be the priorities, the themes, and the desires for ourselves and for others in prayer. The great concern of Paul here in this passage is clearly for the spiritual strength and the growth of the Ephesians. It was not that Paul had no concern for their physical and earthly needs, because as we read this morning back in Acts chapter 19, when he was in Ephesus, there were handkerchiefs and aprons that were carried from his body to the sick and the diseased, and they were cured. And so Paul did have concern for the physical and the earthly needs of believers, and surely he prayed for them at times in that manner. And we should too. But clearly as well, the priority here is first the spiritual needs of believers. This is foremost and the priority of our prayers for others. One of the ways in which we learn how to pray is by listening to the prayers of others in their praying. We learn how to speak when we are children by listening to the voices of others around us. And so it is in prayer. We hear the prayers of the other men and in the church and in our church here. It is a great privilege for us to have men who know how to pray. And on Wednesday night when we gather, it is a very great blessing to hear the earnest, biblical, theological prayers of the brethren, a great encouragement to be in a church where we have men who know how to lead us in prayer. Let me also say to the ladies of the church that the men lead us, but the ladies pray as well. We all pray when the men lead us. Sometimes people think, well, the men pray and the ladies don't pray. No, the ladies pray, but the men lead us as well. That's what takes place in our prayer meeting. So that was just a little aside. But here we study, and what we are doing here is we are hearing the words in the prayers of the great Apostle Paul. It's as if we have Paul with us in our prayer meeting. And this is what Paul would pray among us if he were here with us. And who better to learn how to pray than from the great Apostle himself? This morning we looked at this prayer from the perspective of the resources and the supplies that are available to us in the Christian life. And we saw there are no limits, there are no boundaries, there are no end to the power and the grace that can be given to us. In every need, in every trial that we face, we may have complete confidence in the all-sufficiency of God, in the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit, in the indwelling of Jesus Christ in us, and being filled to all the fullness of God. This evening, we want to look at this prayer from a different perspective, which is the renewal which must take place in the life of a Christian. We begin by looking at the focus of God's work in this prayer, and we ask the question, what is the focus of God's work for which Paul prays? And we find the answer at the end of verse 16, in the inner man, that we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is a phrase which speaks of our souls, our inward spiritual part. We have bodies and we have souls. Our bodies are our physical being, which we can see and touch, and we have our souls, which are our spiritual, our unseen, immaterial personality that is within our being. God made Adam in the garden in the very beginning. He took the dust and he formed the body of Adam, and then he breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Adam had a body and a soul. And every man and woman ever made, ever since, has had both a body and a soul. And that's who we are tonight. Body and soul intertwined and bound together in this life, often in a great mysterious interaction between them. The inner man, the soul, the inward personality, our thoughts, our wills, our emotion, everything that goes within our consciousness. Sometimes the Bible calls it the spirit. Sometimes the Bible calls it the heart, as we see in verse 17. So Christ may dwell in your hearts, in your inner man, the very same thing. We see as well in verse 19, the petition that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We are not filled up to all the fullness of God in our bodies. We are filled up to all the fullness of God in our inner man and in our souls. So these three petitions in this prayer, they have their focus within us, in our souls, in the inner man, in the heart, in our inward persons and personalities. So all of this work that Paul prays for here is an inward spiritual work of God in our characters, in our inner persons, that we would be strengthened, that Christ would dwell in us, and that we would be filled to the fullness of God. Our soul, or our inner man, can be broken down or thought of in three different parts or faculties. We have the mind, we have the will, and we have our emotions. The mind is that which makes up our intellect, our thoughts, our ability to think and understand and reason. It is by our minds that we understand and we interpret the world in which we live. It is by our minds that we understand the difference between good and evil, and between what is true and what is false. It is with our minds that we have memory, and we can recall things from years ago. It is by our minds that we have the power of imagination, and we can look forward into the future. All of this amazing power that is within our minds, thinking and reasoning ability that is within our minds. And then we have our wills. And in our wills, we make our decisions and we act. We deliberately decide on one course of action or another. We have desires for something, and we choose it. And we act based upon our desires, based upon our wills. And then we have our emotions, or our inward feelings and affections. And we have feelings and affections concerning people, concerning experiences, and concerning things. Emotions are often the opposites of one another. We have love, and we have hate. We have joy, and we have sorrow. We have courage, and we have fear. We have confidence, and we have anxiety. All of these make up our emotions within us. So in the inner man, there is this whole world that is within us, and we can think of it in these three different faculties of the mind, the will, and the emotion. And we have these because we are made in the image of God. God Himself has a mind. He has will and He has emotions. We read in the Bible of the mind of the Lord. And then we read of His will. He says, I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. And the Bible represents Him as having emotions as well. God was grieved in His heart when He had made man upon the earth, and He was sorry before the flood. And then at times we read of His joy and His rejoicing over His saved people. So these distinctions of the mind, the will, and the emotions are not man-made distinctions. These are biblical distinctions, and they are found in God, and they are found in us as well, because we are made in the image of God. And in the Bible, the primary faculty is our mind. It is the control center. And from the mind, the commands are sent out to the will and to the emotions. With our mind, we understand what is good and what is right. With our mind, we choose and we direct our wills, and the emotions should follow as well. So there is joy and delight over what is good and what is right. This is the way our souls should function, if they function according to the Word of God. We find this with God Himself. He planned the creation in His mind. Then He carried it out in His will. And then He rejoiced over it and saw that it was very good. He did the same in salvation. He planned salvation. And then He carried it out in His will. And now He rejoices in heaven over the accomplishment of His great work of salvation. So all of this, the mind, the will, the emotions, all of this is part of our inner man. And it is the focus of this strengthening power of the Holy Spirit that Paul prays for in verse 16. We are thinking tonight of the renewal that must take place in us as Christians, in our inner man, in our mind, our wills, and our emotions. And that phrase, the inner man, is used by the Apostle Paul in another passage in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We'll turn there, 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And verse 16. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. He mentions here the outer man. The outer man is our physical body in this life. And he mentions the inner man, which is our souls and our inward being. And he says here that our outer man is decaying. There is this steady and irreversible process of the loss of our strength and vitality in this life in our outer man, our bodies. But on the other hand, our inner man, he says, is being renewed. There is this steady, irreversible process that is taking place in the inner man. And it is continuously taking place day by day as long as we are in this life. And it never comes to its completion or perfection until the end in death. All men know this outer process, this process of the outer man decaying, but only believers know the process of this inner man being renewed day by day. The unbeliever must face the grim reality as years go on, as he sees more and more of the process of his outer man decaying, because it will eventually bring him to one place only, down into a grave. And he can see nothing beyond it, and he has no hope. But for us as believers, we have this inward process that is taking place within us, as the outward process of decay is taking place, this far greater and more wonderful eternal reality of the inner man being renewed is constantly taking place within us day by day. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. If we look down to chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul is continuing this same theme in the verses in between, and then he says in verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very purpose is God, who has given to us the Spirit as a pledge. The Holy Spirit is the one who is carrying out this renewal in the inner man day by day. Paul has in the verses in between here, he is speaking of the death of the body. And what he says here is that even if the process of decay comes to its final end and the body is torn down, at that very time, at that very moment that the body, the decay of the body comes to its end, at that very moment the renewal of the soul will come to its end and he will be in the presence of Christ forever. That's what Paul is saying. It is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is bringing about the renewal of the inner man. So back in verse 16, there is this paradox. There is this apparent contradiction that takes place in the believer, that while our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Decay leading downward, finally to death. But a renewal, day by day, from glory unto glory, leading upward to eternal life, taking place in the inner man. A renovation, a restoration taking place within us, a renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the need for this renewal of our inner man is found in the effects of the fall into sin. Because the fall into sin has ruined every faculty that is within us. We often call it total depravity. And total depravity means, it does not mean that we are as bad as we could possibly be. because common grace restrains us from many sins, restrains men in the world from many sins. But what total depravity means is that every faculty within us has been ruined, corrupted by sin. Our minds have been darkened. We are blind in regard to God and His truth. Our wills have no desire. Our wills have no strength to do His will. And our emotions have been twisted. We love the things that God hates, and we hate the things that God loves. Our entire inner person has been ruined by the effects of sin. And so there must be this renewal. There must be this renewal that takes place in the whole inner man to restore us, to renovate us, to renew us and bring us back to what we ought to be. And it is the great work of the Holy Spirit within us. We think of the renewal of the earth in the springtime after a long, hard winter. The sun shines down. The warm breezes gently blow. The grass turns green again. The buds and the leaves on the trees all appear. And the flowers bloom and the trees blossom. And there is this renewal that takes place. The whole earth seems to have come back to life. And this is what is happening in our souls. We were dead spiritually in our sins and our trespasses. The light of Christ has shone upon us. And the Spirit now is blowing upon our souls with new life. And we are being renewed day by day. And this renewal must continue throughout all of the Christian life until it comes to its full beauty and wonder in the world to come. This is what Paul is praying for back in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. When he prays that we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, what he is praying for is that this renewing process in the inner man would be strengthened, empowered, and it would make progress, and it would increase. We see this renewal spoken of as well in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." In the beginning of the verse, Paul tells us what we ought not to do. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Do not take to yourself the thoughts and the attitudes and the way of life of the sinful world around you. Do not allow yourself to be molded by those whose lives are contrary to the Word of God. Do not be conformed to this world." And then he tells us what we ought to do. And it involves a renewing of the mind. He says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed means to be changed. It is the word metamorphose, which is the word from which we get our English word metamorphosis. A worm is metamorphosized into a butterfly. This most astonishing change takes place. It is a transformation. And that's the word that Paul uses here. Now, when he uses this word, he speaks of the outward transformation of our lives. The change in the way we live. It is an outward change. We are metamorphosized outwardly. But then he tells us where this outward change comes from. by the renewing of your mind. We are transformed outwardly in the way that we live because of an inward transformation, an inward renewal of our minds. Christianity is not just putting on outward things, but it begins inward. And so there is this inward renewal that is taking place in the mind of a Christian by the Holy Spirit, and it results in this outward transformation of his life. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to bring about this transformation. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He wrote the truth of Scripture. And so what the Holy Spirit does now is he takes the truth of Scripture and he uses the Word to renew our minds and to change us inwardly. So we have our part in this renewing of our minds. We must bring our minds under the influence of the Word of God. We must read the Word. We must be in church and hear the Word in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We must study the Word and meditate upon the Word. And we must pray the Word into our hearts. And we must pray for the Holy Spirit to come to us, as Paul does in Ephesians 3 and verse 16, that we would be strengthened with power through His Spirit and with His Word in the inner man. So the Holy Spirit brings about this renewal of our minds by the Word and by prayer. The only means of renewing the mind is the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God in us. You might think of those flowers in your garden, and you want to see them all come to life in the spring. But if there is no sunshine, and there are no rains, and there are no nutrients and fertilizer in the soil, then there will be no renewal of those flowers in the spring. And it is the same thing with our minds. If there is no light by the Word of God, and if there are no showers of the Holy Spirit upon our souls, then there will be no renewal of our minds. These are the only means, the Word and prayer, to bring about this renewal of our minds and then the transformation of our lives as well. Our inner man is being renewed, Paul said, day by day, back in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. And it is taking place by the renewal of our minds, by the Word of God, and prayer for the Holy Spirit. But then we see that after he mentions our minds, then he speaks of our wills in the second half of the verse. By the renewing of your mind, that's first. And then he says that you may prove what the will of God is, that it is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, when your will comes into union with God's will, and you walk as a Christian in the will of God, then you show and you demonstrate and you prove that His will is always good, it is perfect, it is acceptable, and you are approved by Him. The mind is first, and then the will, and the emotions should follow in the delight of the Word and walking in God's ways. A transformed, renewed mind leads to a renewed will, and the whole inner man begins to be renewed. That's the process that Paul is praying for us back in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. We can see this same renewal if we turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, the new man who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Paul speaks of the great change that comes upon Christians in their conversion. The old man, he says, has been laid aside. The old man is what we once were. The old man was crucified. The old man is dead. And why would we carry the old man with us? He must be laid aside. We are no longer the old man. We are new men and women in Christ. Behold, Paul says, we are new creations. The old things have passed away and new things have come. But the new man is just the beginning. The new man must be renewed. There must be this continuous process that renews him, renovates him, and restores him back to what he ought to be. And that's what Paul is speaking of here in verse 10. Put on that new man. And then he says, the new man who is being renewed. What he means is that this is the only thing that is happening to this new man. He is being renewed. He does not grow old, and he does not decay. You are the new man, and the new man has one thing happening to him. He is being renewed by the Spirit day by day. A constant, progressive renewal under the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul tells us the goal or the end of this renewal. To a true knowledge according to the image of the one Christ who created him. A true knowledge. That must involve the mind as well. So here again, the renewal of the new man is a renewal of his mind in knowing God, in knowing God's will. And it comes to him by the Word of God and by the prayer for the Holy Spirit. And he puts off those evil practices at the end of verse 9, and he puts on the new life that Paul speaks of in the rest of this passage, an inward renewal of the mind. But then we can turn back to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 22 through 24. Verse 22, Paul says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In verse 22, he speaks of the old man, who we once were before conversion. In verse 24, he speaks of the new man, who we now are after conversion. And in verse 23, he speaks of the renewal that must take place in us as Christians. That you be renewed, he says, in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of the mind. The governing character of our minds. The prevailing bent of our thoughts. The way that our thoughts are controlled and guided within us in our minds. Our entire way of thinking about life and reality and truth and good and evil. A renewal of the spirit of our minds. An entirely new disposition must be placed and worked now progressively within us in our minds. And this renewal in the spirit of our minds is seen in its fruit at the end of verse 24, in righteousness and in holiness of the truth. Righteousness is the way we conduct ourselves with our fellow men. Holiness is how we conduct ourselves with God. Both of them are according to the truth of the Word of God. So the renewal of the spirit of the mind brings us into this life of righteousness and holiness of the truth. If we look back to verse 17 and 18 for a moment, Paul says, "This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding." That's what we once were before conversion. Our minds were filled with futility, with vanity, without any truth within them. And we were darkened in our understanding. And this darkness of the mind led to a life of all kinds of sin, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's the way the Ephesians lived before their conversion. We remember what we read of the Ephesians this morning. In their pagan life before Christ came to them, a life of witchcraft, sorcery, idolatry, and evil spirits. The inner man was in darkness. There was ignorance. There was the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, Paul says. They lived according to the course of this world, according to the power and the spirit that is in the sons of disobedience. But then Christ came to them. And when Christ came, then there was the beginning of this renewal. And there was the beginning of the renewal of their minds in the spirit of their minds. The mind, once again, is first and primary. The command center of the soul, and everything flows from the mind. And so what are some of the things that are included in this renewal of our minds? There is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of who He is in His nature and all of His attributes. There are new thoughts that enter us of God as Creator and God as Savior. New thoughts of His love and mercy and power and wisdom and grace. There are new thoughts in regard to how this world came into being. There are new thoughts as to who we are ourselves as the image bearers of God. There are new thoughts as to why the human race is so sinful and what has happened to us in the fall. There are new thoughts of how sinners may be recovered. There are new thoughts concerning all of reality, and everything becomes changed and new when this renewal begins to take place. There are new thoughts about what is true and what is false. There are new thoughts about what is good and what is evil. There are new thoughts about the purpose of life and what our life is for, not to live for ourselves, but for Him who died. There is a new mind in us in regard to the future and the world to come and how to prepare for it. All of these things, there is a new mind that is placed within us, and there is this renewal that continually takes place in us. And what happens in the new mind, as it takes place by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, is that we begin to think God's thoughts according to His Word. Now that's an amazing thing, that we begin to think about reality as God thinks about reality. Because His thoughts are given to us in the pages of the Holy Scripture. And the Holy Spirit comes and takes His thoughts and puts them into our thoughts, so that Paul can say, you have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. He says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But then he also says at the same time, but we have the mind of Christ. What he means in that passage is we have the mind of Christ working within us through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. What an astonishing thing. The renewal of our minds and our thoughts being conformed to God's thoughts through the Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. How does this take place? It takes place by the prayer that Paul offers back in chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man, the mind, the will, the emotions, the renewal that takes place in the inner man by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. So what hope is there for us? The same hope there was for the Ephesians. What great need those Ephesians had, living in that pagan city in which they were. What darkened thoughts existed in their minds. What twisted ways and falsehood and wickedness was in them. But yet, they were made new. And this renewal began, and it continued. And they were strengthened with power in the inner man by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And so we have the same hope ourselves tonight. God, help us that our thoughts would be more and more according to God's thoughts. And our minds would be renewed day by day. And we would be brought closer and more conformed to the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, help us now tonight. And we thank you for the great power that is at work in us, that we have all things that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, and every need that we have shall be met by him. And so we pray tonight that this great work of the Holy Spirit would continue in us, and that we would be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and that we would be changed inwardly, and day by day we would increase in the great work that you have begun. Lord, we pray that you would bless the gospel to us today in all that we have heard, and give it life in our souls by your Spirit, we pray. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.